Hello, family. I just want to let you know right up front, I'm very excited. You know, we've done several shows, but there's one area that I think that people really need help in, and this is where we get so many questions on, and that is how to renovate your home on a budget and also just how to do it. First of all, you want to have a budget, but I got with me today. I have Tamara. Tamara, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, I'll let you guys know up front, I'm a little biased. She has helped me. And by the way, you guys know when I design, place, and do things, I do a pretty good job and everything like this. But she has exceeded my expectations. And guess what? I got her here today. Tamara, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey. Thank you for that lovely introduction. I'm humbled and appreciate you so much for that. My name is Tamara McLaughlin. I am the CEO of Tamara Marie Designs, an interior design studio based here in Los Angeles. Our signature service is home renovations and new construction.
Gotcha. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I got to meet her, and then I'm going to tell you some ways that we can help you. I'm going to say add value, save money, and get things done. So, as you guys know, I buy properties. I started something called Buy Inglewood several years ago. And by the way, that's in Inglewood, California. I guess Inglewood, got to say it like that. And so when I bought properties, I've always renovated them on my own and done certain things this way. So I had a project that we were moving to a new home, and I had to renovate the home that I was in because we had to damage certain things that happened to it. And I came across Tamara, and she actually helped me renovate the home that I'm in right now. And she has been a blessing. And there are certain things that I'd done during the home that she did. And I thought that I was really good at designing, and I was really good at doing things and doing it at a price. And I thought, I still think I'm the best at it, but guess what? Unfortunately, she got the receipt. She's a little even better at it than me. So what I want to do is I just want to ask you a question right up front. Is this, what is, do you think, one of the biggest misconceptions people have when they buy a home?
Well, there's a number of things that are misconceptions when people buy a home. And I think the first one that you mentioned is the investment, or i.e. a budget. But we like to call it an investment, right? Because when you buy a home, it's an investment, whether it's a short-term or a long-term project. You want to make sure that every penny is going to have a dividend, right? That there's going to be a long-term yield on whatever you do in your home. But as far as a designer is concerned, I think one of the misconceptions is that, oh, it may be too expensive. That's more of a luxury item. But luxury can mean so many things to so many people. Luxury can mean, you know what? I love going in my bathroom and being that deep soaking tub. But that deep soaking tub doesn't cost you $1 million. That deep soaking tub might cost you $100, but to you, that feels like luxury. So to me, it means it's accessible to everyone.
Gotcha. So, hey, I'm going to come back on a couple things you said. First of all, everybody and listeners, as you guys know, we talk about how you invest and how you become financially successful. So one of the things is when you buy a home, you're actually not spending money when you're doing it. You're actually investing money when you're doing it. When I have a rental property and I'm fixing it up, I'm not trying to just do it the lowest price. I actually want to add value to it to where also where the rent can actually be a little bit higher, where you want to show that. And if it's your own home that you live in, you want it to be nice and you want it to have it set up a certain way so that you're always comfortable in the house. Because one of the things that my wife says is that I want to feel like I'm in a hotel or I'm somewhere very nice. So you're not actually going out and doing it. So you want your, I want to say make your dollar holler, but you want to actually invest the money where you can reap a return. So one more time on the investment side, if I invest a dollar, I expect to make two back. Or it used to be three, but now interest rates were a little higher, at least the time we're doing this now. It's a little bit higher. So you actually want to invest the money in there and actually have a concept with that. But that actually leads me to another question. Well, you said hiring an interior designer is, you said sometimes people think that that's very expensive to do that, or they think that's more. And before we go on that, how did you actually become an interior designer?
Well, thank you. I think I became an interior designer when I was 17 years old, when I decided I was going to move out of my parents' home and get my own apartment with my next door neighbor. And we were going to live a big, big life. But we got this little brownstone in West LA, And we wanted to decorate. And I wanted candles and I wanted all the best things, but I was on a budget, right? I was 17 years old, getting ready to go into my next phase of education. So we would get old wine bottles and put candles in them, different colors, different sizes to create a candle light in our space. We would go to estate sales and buy gently used items to put in our space. That could be, I mean, I still have the copper candelabras I got when I was 17 in my house today, because they probably were really expensive when someone originally bought them, but I just had an eye and I kept them. So those are the things that kind of inspired me back then. And then as I moved into my second phase of life in my hotel background, where I had 20 plus years of experience, design is just part of the culture when you're going to a hotel. So I was exposed to a lot of renovations and spaces, how people feel, a lot of science behind it. So that's how really it all started from there.
Right. I think that gives you a distinct advantage, because now it looks like whenever somebody says, so let's walk through this process. If someone goes out and says, I want to renovate my home, that comes two ways, guys. That comes two ways. One is you have a home and you want to just renovate it or make it look nice. Or you say, hey, two, I actually am moving to a new place. So I've done a little bit of both. So if somebody wants to renovate the home they're in, let's just go through the process they go through. And I'll just tell you what I think they do is they say, they walk into the bathroom and you say, you know what? I'm on this place to look like a new home, or I'm going to renovate this, because you don't want to move. Or you walk into the kitchen. Can you walk us through the process that somebody goes through? And then I want to talk about the value you add, because, and by the way, I'm going to let everybody know this up front, I think I'm good, but we're going to find out. So what's the process you go through? Well, let's use me for example. I come in the bathroom and I say, I want to do something, or if somebody wants to renovate things in their house, what's the first steps they should do?
Well, in our firm, we have what we call our 7-step process. And it's a signature process just to make sure we don't miss anything. 7 steps. And there's a lot of subcategories within those 7 steps. But the first thing we do, we always start off with a call with our customers and our potential clients, just to get an idea of a vision. And we ask a series of questions to spark ideas. Or we ask, when was your last vacation? What did you love about that destination? What did you love about the shower? What did you love about the space? You know, what colors moved you? What, when you went to the bar, you know, what made you feel good? You know, it's all emotional when you get down to it, is how it makes someone feel. So once we get through the discovery call phase, then we start getting into the nitty gritty. We get to the space, we walk through it, we take notes, measurements, and we base it all on those initial conversations that we had in your discovery call. Then we get to the design concepts. That's when we start doing renderings or concept boards. So call this, you know, your inspiration on paper, for lack of a better word. So we put that together. And then we start cultivating that investment piece, which is so important, because we can design out the woozy, but if it doesn't meet the range of what it is that you want to invest, then it kind of defeats the purpose, right? So we want to make sure that we're designing within the investment that you feel comfortable in. And then there's a number of different things that we do during the design process to get it nailed down. We help you source a contractor if you don't have one. We call it trade day, where contractors will come in your home. They'll use our scope of work that we spoke about to cultivate a proposal based on what it is that you want to do. And then once you decide on a contractor, then we start getting into the implementation phase. And in the implementation phase, we go through sourcing your materials, right? We go into, you know, picking out paint color. We go into, you know, where things are going to be placed. And we work hand in hand with your builder to make sure that the original design concept comes to life during that phase. And then it's the reveal, the fun part, when it all gets done and all of the conversations and the money spent come to life. And we walk through that space. We need to make sure everything that it is that we originally discussed is on point. And then hand you your keys and you're in your home.
Wow. So you guys, let me just say this about there. First of all, the reason why I tell you she was good is I only have three steps, so she got seven. So I tell you right now. That's number one. And there's just a couple things I want to walk through these steps a little bit slower with you, so you understand the power of it. So you did that actually with us, where you asked where we went on vacation, where we liked, and different things. Is whenever I'm renovating a property, whether I'm buying it for an investment property or it's I'm going to live in, I go to places and walk around in there, and I'm always looking at the concepts and we're looking at the pictures. And then I'm going to say this in a nice way: they have these TV shows, and I'm not telling you not to watch it because I just don't like the unrealistic part about
yes.
it. You know how they have the house and they buy it. First of all, their escrow is about 2 minutes if you look at the very beginning. You know, they do it. Then they buy the house and everything like this. And then they break one thing. And then they go to commercial and come back and the whole house is demoed. You're like, wow.
Yes.
Then they come back and then they do all the renovation. And I guess they never have a problem or nothing about the whole thing. And everything ends up that way. But it deals with the realities. Because what happens is what people want in their mind and what they get are usually different when they first start off. And it's really good to have a guide. So I want to just break down a couple of things that you want to
yes.
do that you talked about, but I want just every listener to do. Number one is that you go and look at what you see and what you like. Like you say, yeah, I like this, I like that. And then it's really good with you bouncing certain things off of you and different things. So also talk to someone who's done it. You see, like, well, if you want to learn something, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is experienced knowledge. So that's why when people come to us with investments, it's like it's experience now. It's like we've done this before. Exactly. And then she's used the term concept board. But then I'm going to say this and not cry, is that I have vision boards. So I told my wife that we are going to have a house. And I said, this is what's going. And I said that we're going to do this in the different areas. So you want to have a concept board of what you're going to do. Then understand your investment. So now I'm going to come back to you on this investment part a little bit, is that you want to find out what you're going to invest to get the best value. So see here is that you see some people say, what is the cheapest thing? Now, I'm not shouting out companies or anything like this, but like Home Depot, a lot of times when I'm in there, there's people that come up to me and ask me questions because they're watching me lay flooring down. And then they're watching. I'm necessarily may get it there, may not. But I'm saying what the flooring is, how to match with the tile, how to match things up. And I'm holding what I want in my vision in a board, but I'm kind of matching it up. How do you do that and add value in the area of pricing when they're looking at what they want and you're showing them, like, how do you? I'll just leave it at that. How do you add value in that area as far as investment compared to the vision board to design?
That's a great question. And part of our process with our clients is we call it a concept and budget review presentation. So once we have all your design documents done, we come to your space with materials. So that could be flooring, that could be tile, that could be fabric, whatever it is based on the scope of work of the project that we're working on. And the items that we've chosen are based on that investment number that we discussed. So for example, if you're renovating a kitchen and you say, Tamara, you know, our budget is $65,000 for the kitchen. And we're going to work backwards into that number. We may spend $65,000. We may only spend $55,000. But we're only going to provide materials that you can choose from that fit within that budget. So we come to your home or your office or your space or our conference room, and we lay everything out for you. And we'll always give you at least three options to choose from, because we just feel like once you get to that space, we lay it out on the table, it looks all pretty, and then we just start mixing and matching things until we get to a space that you feel excited about it. And in our what we bring to the table is, you know, solutions to what it is that you may have been, you know, having a challenge with. You know, I really like this floor.
Yeah, right. Can I come in here a little bit here?
Sure.
So you guys, when you deal with investments, we're doing certain things. We always kind of, you know, in your dealing area, I like the three options and everything like this, but you always want to have different options before. Because what happens, and then also want to talk to you couples, married couples, is to be on the same page is that you see, sometimes when you're looking at three different options and then we get the pricing down, I love showing them because like, what's attractive about this floor? The price, you know what I mean? Like, so we want to make sure when we're talking about them that we're all on the same playing floor. Like these all, we can get them. Then we're dealing with design. So make sure it fits in the budget and that you can do it. Then also, I'm just want to throw in something that you do and that I do is that sometimes you can, and then I want you to give me an example. Tomorrow after I do this, is that like, let's say we're doing your kitchen and we're going to redo something and we're going to leave your original stuff in there and make it real nice. But then we're going to take really expensive like handles and put them on there, like the things that are $3 and $4, but not spend the other parts. Or you can do something inexpensive, but put not expensive, cost effective. Look at the
yes.
language here, guys. Something that's very cost effective and efficient, but then you can put the nice finishes on it. And then you can make it look really, 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 you know, nice and do those in those areas. How are some ways that you do that kind of add value where you get something that's not as expensive, but then you make it not only look expensive, but it's just a good use of funds?
I believe in high impact, low cost. That's how I bring that to the table. High impact, low cost. So some things that could be high impact, but don't cost a lot. Paint. Paint can change the entire environment and space, mood, everything. It can also affect, you know, to open up a space, to make it feel larger or smaller. You know, those are the type of things that you can consider. High impact, low cost. You mentioned fixtures, you know, cabinet pulls. You know, right. You can even do a tile selection that might have an interesting shape and a little texture. Even if you go with a standard subway, there's so many different subways tiles, but one might have a little texture. One might be matte. One might be shiny. Those all are things that can have a high impact but low cost for your project. So that's what our team brings value. We have experience because we do this every day. We're sourcing materials. We have trade partnerships. So we know what to bring to the table, which saves you time and money.
Right. So the other option is you going out and sourcing it and looking for it yourself or the professionals because they can kind of find it or they can see it and then get the different options.
Exactly.
No, that's really good. So also, you guys know I'm a financial advisor. Also, you know that I'm a pastor. So it is very rare. I don't get a phone call at least once a week from someone who says, I had this contractor and then they gave them this amount of money and the person didn't come back and then they did this. Or the contractor went out and got three bids, and I'm coming to a question on this, just want to let you know. They got a bid that was I'm gonna say $100,000 to do it. Then they got one that was $110,000, they got one that was $40,000, and they went with the $40,000, and then the person said, oh, well, halfway through I can't do it. And then it ended up costing $150,000. Like they were bid low or they just had challenges with contractors. So I would like to ask you a question. What does your firm do? But then some advice to people to how do you find a good contractor that's actually going to do what they say that they're going to do? And how do you find a good contractor?
You know, that's the $1 million question. I mean, we can do a whole series on just that alone. And as we evolved, you know, as we evolved in our firm, we've gone through different stages on how we can support our clients with this one topic. You know, during implementation, your contractor is the most important person to make sure that the transformation comes to life. And we help provide options because we worked with a number of different contractors. And so now that's the phase trade day. So when we offer solutions or options for you, we try to give you 3 to 4 options for a contractor. And these are contractors that we've worked with on projects. It's never a contractor we haven't worked with before. And we try to match you up with a contractor that we think would be best for your project. When they do the walk of your space and start giving proposals, during our concept and budget review, we go through these contracts with you. And so you can ask questions with us first before you have those conversations with the contractor. And the reason why we added this into our process is because now we're well-versed in what to look for in the proposals. If you've never done a renovation before, you may be looking at things that are foreign language to you, right? You don't know what these mean, or if they're bungling, or something's being left out, or you don't know what to think about. So that's how we add value in that process. And the next step is we...
Can I just stop? Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want someone to understand. I want to give you a practical example of that. So when I'm talking to a contractor, and this is someone who does this a little bit, is when they say that you're going to do the flooring and it's $3 a square foot or $2 a square foot, or they quote in here $1 a square foot. Let's use where they put $1 a square foot. You don't want that on your floor, more than likely. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see if the what is written in there is something that you're going to, if it's complete one, and then if it's realistic. You know what I mean? Like, do you want that? Later on when you do that. And so you want to understand those. And that's what you're talking about when she's saying, like, reviewing the contract with them. So again, if you don't use tomorrow and you do it, you need to do it with someone that does know how to review them. And
Even the terminology, George, we even have a definitions list now that we have that we provide our clients. It's a definition of all terms construction. So words like allowances. Right, you might see something on your contract called an allowance, like you were mentioning the floor, that might say, oh, we're going to give you an allowance of $3 per square foot. And you might think, what does that mean? Right? What that means is that they're going to give you a credit based on the proposal that they gave you for your flooring at $3 per square foot. George is suggesting is, you might think you're not going to find a floor of quality.
And if yours is six, then what happens?
Maybe it's more like $6. So then you're going to be charging an extra $3 per square foot to get that $6 square foot flooring that you really want, which is an additional expense.
Square foot is $6,000.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure we've said that
out loud.
That I've said it. Go ahead.
And then what happens, right? You've chosen this contractor. You have this proposal that you think is fair and makes sense and fits within your budget. But now you're like, oh, no, I have an additional expense. This is what everybody's talking about, right? First, I thought I was going to pay this. Now I'm paying this. So we try to help guide you through that process so you can avoid some of those costs or additional expenses during the implementation phase of your project. So that's a very valuable thing to consider, having those definitions so you understand what they mean if they come up on your proposal or contract, and then you can ask more questions about that.
All right. And then, hey, could you also send me that definitions list? So then also everyone, we'll look at down the road, if you guys engage or you guys have something, that's something that can be sent to you as well. Okay. Just that you know the definitions. That'd be fair enough. So we may have.
Yeah. And I want to offer something to everyone. If you're interested in learning more about the renovation process, or you want our definitions list or investment guide, you can DM us on any of our socials and type in invest, and we'll send that to you. Complimentary.
See that? You guys get that. I'm going to get that. Hopefully, maybe there'll be some other. But it's also good to know that, because even if you throw them around, at least they'll think, hey, they even know what that means. But also, that gives you education in that area. That's really good. All right. Sorry, go ahead with the process as far as contractor.
Yes. So with your contractor, you know, like George said, you watch the show HGTV, and I think it can provide you with some false expectations. You know, when we're speaking to our clients, we always talk about the good, bad, and ugly. We actually have a resource that gives you an examples of things that can go wrong and how they can go wrong and what happens. And it's all about providing solutions and how you handle the situation. Things were not going to be perfect. Things are going to happen. Problems are going to arise. We're human beings, right? And so it's setting the expectation often and clearly. So when things do come up, you can expect that our team is going to help you provide solutions, work with your contractor to provide alternatives to make it right.
Gotcha. And then also just on the practical side, so there's just two things. Now I'm coming back to George, Pastor George, the financial advisor said. Yes. So whenever you do a budget, you also just from me, you always look at 10%, at least 10% more that you're going to spend than what is on that paper. If you in your mind think it's going to come in exactly where it was, that's going to be a little bit. And then I want to ask you how you overcome certain things. But just so you guys know, but when I did the renovation to the home that we're in right now, it was during the pandemic. So we had supply chain issues. So there was actually a floor that we were said we were going to get. Then it wasn't available. But then she came back with more options. Or also you want to have other options or backup options that are right in that area. Because what you don't want to do with a contractor is have them stop working. One of the things you want them to be coming over all day, and you want to have a start and a completion date, because say more than likely, but 90% chance you have a mortgage on that property. So you're paying two mortgages at one time, typically. So you want to make sure that you have backup options. So what are some things you did? Supply chain, and just so you guys know, we ordered a door and during the pandemic, and we just got it last week. That was a joke.
But anyway, I've seen that door center. It's been there.
But anyway, but there's some things like also with a contractor. I'm saying so just some ways that you kind of help or some suggestions you have for people that you would have just in general.
I have a couple of tips on that.
With supply chain issues and costs, and then you fall in love with something, and then you come back down there What is it now? They just write out of stock on things, but then it never comes back. Like this, they didn't say it's being discontinued or whatever they're going to say. So anyway, just some helpful tips in that area.
I think a couple of things that you can consider when you're speaking to your contractor that most people might not organically think about is ask for a schedule. So in your contract, they're most likely going to put with your payment schedule, they're going to be something called milestones. And that can look like a demo milestone. And then once demo's complete, there's a payment involved. Or electrical, then there's, when electrical's completed, then you make a payment. Most contractors work that way. But to go a step further, you should ask your contractor for a schedule, a build schedule. And the reason why you should ask your contractor for a build schedule is for the reasons that George just mentioned. So if you have a schedule of what's going to happen week one to week four, you can anticipate that, for example, okay, we know that on week six, they're going to be working on and doing electrical or plumbing, right? So if plumbing is going to happen, you know, all your fixtures, all of your plumbing fixtures, your P-traps, I'm using jargon, need to be on site ready for your contractor to go. And if you're not familiar with what that looks like, that's when the designer comes in very helpful, because we'll make sure all the materials that are needed to work within the build schedule on site, which means you don't lose time and or money with your contractor, you know, waiting for things to complete the work.
Right. So, hey guys, so, you know, this is one of the things when we teach our real estate classes and everything at Thompson Wealth Management, we walk through all these things. That's another thing. We call it a punch list, but also the schedule that we have is this. And this is just me. What we do is we pay people, this is just what I do. I pay people on Fridays. So what I do is I show up and then they're saying, this is a list of what is supposed to be completed this week. So then what you do is this is just a little tip. This is just me. I walk on the site and I say, Panda or Chick-fil-A or Chipotle or Chick-fil-A. And I just go bring them that food. And we walk through that list. And then that's done. Then you pay. So then what happens is that, so if that's if you're doing it that way, or she does all this for you. But if you don't, then you want to make sure that you have a list and that you're walking through that and that you're going through that process. You're going through that process with people. Is that you want to have it when it's done, what's supposed to be done at that period of time. So I said a week, but if mine's divided into weeks. But if it's in 10 days it's supposed to be done, then on the 10th day you come and check all that and then you pay in that area. Good. Also, anything else about contractor selection or anything else that people should look for or in doing that? But also I just want to throw out two more is look at previous projects that they've done and things like that.
Yeah.
All right. Anything you want to add about that or any other tips?
I think it's important that you get references and speak to people that have engaged with them. and do three or four. You know, I, even in my business, you know, I know George has been a great referral for me, but I give my clients, you know, three or four references so they can call them and have a conversation and ask them whatever they want that makes sense for you. What's important for you, right? You know, do they show up on time? Are they good communicators? Do they explain things? Are they explaining things that maybe if you need to do a change from the original idea that you were thinking that was going to be executed? You know, whatever it is that makes most sense for you and would make you feel good about the process, those are the questions that you should ask. But if you're not sure what questions to ask, you know, you can even do a Google search. You know, what questions should I ask my contractor? You know, just be proactive and prepared before you have those conversations with their references. But I think that's the number one thing. If they have an active job site, go on ask them if you can go on the job site and see the work. You know, walk through it, see how the team is. Are they there? What are they doing? Just get your eyes on it. So those would be some of the tips that I would recommend when choosing your contractor. It's not always just about who gives you the best price, right?
Right.
Always think of other things that bring value to your project.
Right. When you said references, that's really good because you have people that work with them and they're asking. I'm going to come back to that. But also going to a job site and seeing the work. When I'm joking sometimes, but I don't know if you can see anything on the screen right now. But this is Tamara Designs. This is her website. So she has receipts actually of showing like properties that you've worked on. So you can see these. And then these also give you ideas and things like that. So you can see them, but then also it lets you see the quality of the work. And then when you go out to, and then now back to references, is references are good because you're dealing with someone who just dealt with, that has worked with whoever you're dealing with. You know what I mean? Like, so that they've seen that. And then things like timelines, pay, coming in on time, things like that, those things you got to see an experience from someone that does have them. So in that area. So I think that's really good.
Yeah. One last thing I forgot to mention is make sure they're licensed and bonded.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Make sure they're licensed and bonded in the work that they're doing. Sometimes you might have a contractor come and think they can do it all themselves, but I've learned also from past experiences that might not be the best solution for your project. You want to make sure also that any subs that they're bringing in, electrical, plumbing, that they're all licensed and bonded, because those are the things you can't see, the things behind your walls, plumbing and electrical. You want to make sure that quality work is done correctly and that, you know, that you're going to make sure that you're getting the best of work done.
Tamara, can you explain the difference between licensed and bonding?
Yes, the difference between license and bonding. So license means that you're licensed with the state, whichever you're in, with the state as a licensed contractor. And then there's something called bonds. These are something that contractors are required to have. You know, I don't know the exact amount. It varies by state, but it's almost like a liability. And there's a number attached to it to make sure that whatever it is, or if something were to happen to your home, that it's covered by your contractor. And so that's just like a summary of what that means, but both are required, I know, in the state of California.
But also, guys, just so you know a little bit, bonding is like a form of insurance, like you have insurance on your car. Bonding means like you have insurance on their work in case there's a claim or anything like that.
Absolutely.
And then back to the license bond, it really helps also because different things happen. We happen to be in the state of California, and the list goes all over the country and all over the world. But in California, we've had more rains than we ever thought. There was actually a song. We have to come out and tell them it's not true. It never rains in California.
Yes.
Now it rains. It rains so much.
I was what's happening here?
They asked me if God told me to build an ark. And to see how your property or what you do, your investment holds up in difficult times, you get to see that by the quality of the craftsmanship and the people that you work with. So make sure you always look at your contractor, and you also look at the tips that we just said here, and that you utilize those. Hey, second to last is this. So then there's the implementation process. Yes. But I think we covered most of that just earlier, is that you guys understand that when you're doing implementing, is that I'll start with me. And then also I want you just to add the things that you sure. do. Implementation is that when I do it by myself and all that, is I'm coming every week and I'm checking everything that everybody's doing. And I'm walking them through, and I'm doing that during the process. So that means you're hands-on. So how do you do implementation?
Well, we do a couple of things. I have incorporated some automation into our services, especially for busy professionals. So if you're doing this
on your own. You fly drones?
Well, we have drones. We have videos that we send you. And we also have what we call our client dashboard. So on our client dashboard, it's accessible by the client and the contractor. So it's a great hub of communication. So we can upload pictures, the schedule, communication, all the things that would save you time, right? And just making sure that you know where you're at in the process. So say, for example that we've done a walk of the property, just kind of see how things are going. And we've taken some pictures. We upload those pictures to the dashboard. You as a client have access to them and say, we have a note in there saying, hey, this is where we're at with your bathroom renovation this week. Take a look. And it provides you with, saving time from you having to go there. You have a visual of where they're at in the process and any notes or commentary of if there's any changes or everything's great, what have you. And then you have the option to respond to that and say, hey, I love how this is looking, but I'm not quite sure about XYZ. And it's a great hub and a great tool for instant communication on where you're at with your project.
And you know what's really good about that as a dashboard is that for people who are, I don't know who I'm talking to out there, but if you're really busy, it's good to have a dashboard, and doing that. And there's two types of dashboards. Remember before is how much gas is in the car, how much this is doing that. But then they got these electric, these Tesla dashboards that should kind of show everything. And it's really good to have a dashboard that just shows what's going on with the project, so you can just look at it at a glance and then watch it from, I'm using the gas tank manager, is from the beginning and then it goes to the end. And then the progress and then doing it, I think that's really good. Hey, if we can just do a little recap, and I just wanted everyone to know that it's that when you renovate your home, whether you're staying in the current home that you have, buying an investment property, or you're moving to a new home, how well you budget and how well you manage that process is critical to also things that you do financially. Because typically you either saved up the money, may have to get some finance. How that worked, you want to make sure you do the project right. So there's certain things that we covered today that I want to make sure that you look at. I think I have five, but we'll see if we have even more. First thing you want to do is look and do your research and find out what you really like in doing that. See that even, and then I even did this, go to really nice hotels and go there and just look at them, and look at them and find out really what you like. Then also come over the kind of concept that you like to go over and do that. She even has a concept board where they walk through it. Then you actually sit down and then you go over what your investment's going to be in that property and how you're going to invest. And you want to get the most bang for your buck, as they say. You want to be able to make sure that you're looking at how you're going to do that. And then there's some I'm going to use that you just said. You want to do high impact at a low cost and then go through that. Then you design it, and then you have your design exactly what you want to do. You're going to figure out that blueprint and in doing that. And then also that contractor part, I just want to let you guys know, the investment, the contractor, and the plan, those three things got to be on point. Like when you guys watch the Olympics are coming. When you do that double back and you got to stick that landing, those components all need to be there, but it all doesn't work unless you implement that plan. So Tamara, just the way that you outlined that, I think it is a great opportunity. I want to give you any last words you'd also like to say, but also if you could give out your website, and we'll also put that on the show notes if people would like to contact you. But also, I want to see if there's anything else we left off And then I would like to make some concluding remarks.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunities to talk to everyone out there. I just want to, I guess an analogy that I have, if you're considering a project, a full renovation project, which we specialize in, and not quite sure where to start, you know, our design firm can help you. You know, like athletes, not all athletes are created equal, right? Some bring more to the table than others. And we feel like we're, you know, at the top of the line when it comes to, you know, providing the services that you need for your transformation. So how you can reach me, all things Tamara Marie Designs. That's our Instagram handle. That's our LinkedIn. That's our Facebook. And that is our website. So we're in all social handles at Tamara Marie Designs. And our website is tamaramariedesigns.com. And like I mentioned, if you would like access to our investment guide, or like George, want the glossary of definition, you can DM or send me an email and type in invest, and we'll send you that information about those two items or more about our company directly as soon as we get that for you.
All right, family. So first of all, just not the definition. I'm on everything. So I'm invest and then send that. Did you guys, as you know, I hope you like my new series. What I've been doing is we did something called How To Tuesdays, where I showed you how to do something. If you notice, we did one that was on how to buy a car. And this one is about how to renovate a home, because people ask me, hey, how do you do it? So what I did is I brought in a car guy before that did cars. And then now I bring in a specialist in every area. And this is our specialist in the area of renovations and also the budgeting and interior design. So that I hope you got some good notes. Also, please type in the chat anything that you, any positive or just feedback or just how you felt about it. Also, like, click, subscribe. And hey, I look forward to seeing you on our next episode. And then, oh, also, don't forget, 21-day fast start. You guys know that we always are walking through to help you achieve your financial goals as well, but also want to give you practical advice for everyday living. Thank you so much for joining us. Tamara, everybody give Tamara a hand.
Thank you.
Good. Hey, I will see you on our next episode.